sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to open to the book of Joshua 24. Book of Joshua chapter 24, if you have your Bible this morning. I would this morning, if the Lord be with us, like to continue our thoughts on the book of Ephesians. I know we're turning to Joshua because of way of introduction. I have some different thoughts that I want us to look at. But I want to try to continue our thoughts in the book of Ephesians that we've been studying for some time. And this morning, my focus is how God doesn't overlook the little things. The little details that God has saw fit to work out. We know that the book of Ephesians, or I trust that you know, because I know I've brought it out many times. Book of Ephesians is kind of split into two parts. The first three chapters is largely focusing on the works that God and Jesus Christ have done for us and the way that they have worked all things out. And the last three chapters are what we're supposed to do with that knowledge. How we're supposed to apply all of that to our lives. And we've enjoyed so far getting through all the token verses that we all like in the book of Ephesians. And seeing those things that God has indeed worked out. He has completed the work. We see how God sees to every detail. He has saw to our eternity past in choosing us from before the foundation of the world. We're told that plainly. He saw to our eternity future in predestinating us to be conformed to the image of His Son and predetermining that we will be with Him in glory for all eternity. He has seen to our day-to-day life in forgiving us, redeeming us, washing us, teaching us. He has saw to everything that we need. We owe Him our very life, physically and spiritually. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, we're told in Scripture. We owe our very physical life to the awesome design of God and all the works that He has done, and our spiritual life even more. In you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We have seen how the comparison there is just as dead as Christ was when they took Him down off the cross and put Him in the ground. That is just as dead as your spirit was prior to regeneration. Useless, powerless, could do nothing in and of itself at all to serve God. You were dead in trespasses and in sins. And twice now we have looked at, by grace, are you saved? And by grace, ye are saved. And how He has taken care of our eternal salvation completely, entirely, and our day-to-day salvation. And He has given us our faith. That is not of works, lest any man should boast. And He has given us His grace. that completely unmerited favor of God. This morning I want to continue through those thoughts and look at one that I think that it's not necessarily that I believe that we've forgotten it. I believe more directly it's that we don't consider it, that we overlook it, that we kind of take it for granted. What about our teaching? Read with me here in Joshua chapter 24. Kind of put you in place of where we're at here in the book of Joshua here. They have taken the land. This is after they've been brought up out of Egypt. This is after the 40 years as they wandered around in the wilderness of their own doing. This is after they have gone into the land and they've taken the land. And this is kind of coming to the close of Joshua's life. And he brings all of Israel together. And I'll start reading in the 14th verse. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out them before us all. But the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land, therefore, will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." I'm going to pause there for just a second. Now, this is just an introduction, so I'm going to try not to chase everything that is involved here. I want us to, though, to get the picture, to put ourselves in their shoes. Has God ever helped you? I mean, this is us putting everything that we've been talking about into play here. God is the one that brought them out of Egypt. Did Israel have any ability to bring themselves out of Egypt? They were enslaved by them, could not come out, would not be let out, could not serve God, could not worship God, could not follow after God. They were enslaved in the land of Egypt, and it is God that brought them out of it. He even goes so far as to say before the flood, they were in the same condition, completely consumed with the wickedness of the world. Their every thought was evil continually. It was so bad prior to the flood that it sickened God that He even made us. That's what it means there in the book of Genesis when it says it repented God. That's not a change in God. That's He was sickened that He'd even made us. That we were so consumed and our every thought was evil continually. And He likens that unto Israel being trapped in Egypt. They could not serve, they could not follow, and it is God indeed that brought them out. The people of Israel recognized that it was God that brought them out. They recognized that it was God that was with them when they were wandering 40 years. They recognized that it was God that had been with them as they went into the land and they took the land and drove out the Amorites and all the various ites of the land. They recognize that it is God that has allowed them to enjoy vineyards that they did not plant, cities that they did not build, wells that they did not dig. They recognize and they understand that it is God that has been with them. Amen? And the people of the land, to their credit at this point, they said, "God forbid that we would not serve the Lord at this point. Why would you even give us a choice, Joshua? You know who we would serve. You know who we would do, who we would follow and who we would keep after. How is it that they were brought to that point? How is it that they understood that it was God that was with them that drove out the ites? It wasn't their mighty army. It wasn't the vast multitude that they brought in with them. It wasn't because they were the greatest fighting nation ever. They proved that right after the fall of Jericho. If you can remember back, again, I'm trying really hard to not chase rabbits, but if you'll remember back, they took Jericho. That mighty fall of the city of Jericho as the walls fell flat because they followed God's word and God's teaching perfectly and walked around it those 7 days and then seven times on the seventh day and did exactly what God told them to do, and the walls fell flat and they took the land, they took that city without even having to try because God was with them. And immediately after that, they got to thinking, well, we've got this. Let's go take Ai. And that little city of Ai had Israel running for the hills. It wasn't their mighty fighting. It wasn't their mighty military. How is it that they knew that? God had told them as such. God had reminded them. He had constantly gave men to teach them, to encourage them, to remind them. And that's what Joshua is doing here as he's going out. He's saying, now's the time. We're done fighting. The dangerous time for us as Christians, as children of God, is not when it is hard for us in this world. How many of you, when it gets bad, you're hurting constantly, you're tired, you don't know how you're going to make ends meet, you get worried about life, who has to tell you to pray to God at that point? You run to Him at that point, right? The hard times for us, the dangerous times for us, is the easy times. It's those easy times when it seems like we've got it made. It's those easy times when the fighting has subdued for a little while and we can enjoy the comfort that God would have us to do. It's those times that we tend to forget God. It's those times that we tend to get complacent and just kind of go with the flow. And Joshua recognizes that that's a time they're coming up on. So he's asking them and he's challenging them. He's charging them as a nation as they go back home now. And he's splitting up the armies and they're able to go back into their lands and take the land as they had divvied it up. He said, choose you this day whom you will continue to serve from here on forward. And they say, we will serve the Lord, because they had been taught that it was God that was doing all of these things. That's the reason they understood that. Look again in the book of Nehemiah, and we see this continue. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we have probably the plainest explanation of what preaching is supposed to be found here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And it's kind of the point that I'm trying to get across this morning as we lay some groundwork. Nehemiah chapter 8, starting in the 4th verse. And it says, and Ezra, the scribe, stood upon a pulpit of wood. It's the only place in Scripture a pulpit's mentioned, by the way. Stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Matthias and all of these other men. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Not that he was greater than all the people. There's a reason I stand up here so everyone can see. For he was above all the people, and when he had opened it, now y'all listen to this, when he had opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered. Y'all listening? Amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and all these other men caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Why is it that Israel knew it was God? Because of the preaching. Because they had been taught. Now, I asked you a couple of times, were y'all paying attention as we read that? I tell y'all, I remind you and I encourage you often that preaching is not a one-way street here. I am not the only one that has a job during the preaching. Now, I'm not going to ask all of y'all to stand up while I'm preaching. But you understand what the significance of that is. They gave attention. They paid attention. They gave reverence to the reading of the Word of God. You can continue on through this in the 8th chapter. And this was hours long that they did this. Okay? So us long-winded preachers, we're not near as long as we used to be. But the people would stand up at the sound of the Word of God because they recognized and understood the importance of the Word of God being explained and being preached to them. It said that he went to the book of the law and he read from it distinctly. He knew where he wanted to go and what it is he wanted to point out. And he gave the sense of it. What is it exactly that God is trying to get us to see? And he caused the people to understand what it was saying. That's the purpose of the preaching. God has always spoken to his people. And he has always expected his people to give reverence to the Word of God and to give reverence to the preaching. And preaching wasn't a silent situation. As they read and as they... He caused them to understand. Reckon how he knew they understood. They answered back, "Amen, brother, amen," with the raising of the hands, and they worshiped God. The preacher was able to stand before the people and give the Word of God distinctly and give the sense of it and explain to them, and he was able to see that they're getting it. Now that's a rabbit that I wanted to chase for just a minute. That's what preaching's supposed to be. I should be able to tell you're getting this. Otherwise, we get a lot longer winded because we don't think you're getting it. So if you want to get to the rolls faster, a few more amens. Get the point across. They stood and they gave reverence to it because they understood God was speaking to them. I'm not God. I'm just his vessel. I pray that I am this morning. Because if he's not in this, I need to shut up and sit down. But they gave reverence to the Word of God. They gave reverence to the preaching because God has always saw fit to speak to his people. God has always saw fit to inform his people and to be involved in his people's personal lives. You ever been amazed when you go to church and the preacher starts to preach and you're like, when did he tap my phone? When did he bug my house? How did he know I was dealing with that right now? I'll give you an example, and a brother y'all can pray for. A man from our body shop. Doesn't know me. I've not said two words to him since I've been there because they're in a completely separate building on the far back side of the property. So I don't have any dealings with any of them over at the body shop. But he was over there washing a truck off. And I'm walking through the wash bay, and he stopped me for a second. He said, "Hey, I want to tell you something." I said, "Okay." "I went to church yesterday for the first time in 7 or 8 months. And I mean, the preacher just peeled my head. He knew exactly what I was going through. He knew exactly what I was dealing with. He said, man, it was just awesome. You ever had that?" I said, "Well, yeah, I have." It's pretty awesome when he does that. And carrying on conversation with him, he's trying to get sober. He's trying to put things aside. He's trying to get serious about being back in church again. So y'all be praying for him. But he got to talking about those things, and he's, "I just don't know how that happens." I said, "Because God's not done with you yet." Why is it that that happens in preaching sometimes? Because God has always saw fit to speak to His people and to be involved with their day-to-day lives. Well, you know, I don't ever get anything out of the preaching. How much attention are you really paying? When's the last time you amened when you agreed with something? When's the last time you were willing to lift your hands and praise? You might be surprised what you get out of preaching when you actually listen. So we can see clearly that God has always spoke to His people, right? Okay. Imagine this time if you lived in Egypt. How much did God speak to them there? I'm not talking about an Israelite. I'm talking about you were an Egyptian in this time. How much of God's word did you get? How about the folks that lived over here where we're at? You know, people lived here then. How about in Greece, Asia, China, all those places? You know who those people are? Gentiles. How much of God's word did they get at this time? How often did they have a preacher standing up before them on a pulpit of wood and reading the book of God distinctly and giving the sense of it and causing them to understand it? How often did that happen at this time? It didn't. Jonah thought God had lost his mind because he told him to go to Nineveh. Now, wait a minute, God, Nineveh's not part of Israel. What do you have me going over to Nineveh and preaching to them? They're not Israel. That's one of the reasons he wanted to run away, because they're not of us. They'll not receive me. How often did God speak to those people at the same time? Are you going to tell me that at this time God did not have a people in Egypt? Are you going to try to tell me that people at this time that God did not have people here in the Americas at this time that were His? Asia, South America, Russia, and the land that they're in? Is it just now that God has a people there? What about them? What about them? God's taking care of that. Go with me now to the book of Ephesians. As we try to get these little details that we need to be ever so thankful for. See, we really celebrate the first part of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, and you hath he quickened who were dead. We're thankful for that. I mean, we'll get to celebrating the fact that we are quickened unto life. I have spiritual life. I understand God. I am glad to be here this morning because God has born me again. I pray to God because He has born me again. I look forward to my eternal home because God has born me again. I know these things because God is working with me. And we are so thankful for the first part of this chapter. But He's not done. I want to read again, and y'all be glad this is probably the last time you'll hear these few verses because we've been on them for several weeks now. But Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, one more time. Says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourself." That faith is not of yourself. That faith is the gift of God. That faith is not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, I remind you of those verses again, because the two verses I want to look at this morning start with a wherefore. because we understand this is something that Israel could not get their head wrapped around. This is something Peter struggled to get his head wrapped around. And we're going to try to study on Peter some during our Bible studies. Peter had a hard time getting his head wrapped around what God's fixing to say here. And Paul, if anyone had reason to misunderstand this, Paul was one of them. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And this is the very reason that God did not send Christ down here to repair Judaism. He sent Jesus down here to start completely over with something new. He says, because you are saved by grace through a faith that is not yours, because there is a power working in you that is not of you, and you are using a vessel to house that power, which is faith, that you didn't produce. You didn't produce your faith. You didn't go find your faith. You didn't ask for your faith. God gave you faith, and He produces and gives you grace through that faith for your salvation. None of this is of your works, because you understand you didn't get yourself here. Because you understand this, because you understand that who you are is a complete byproduct of the work of God. Y'all understand that this morning, right? This is going to challenge us some to fully understand what Paul is saying here. We've got to understand the fact that we are a child of God is a byproduct of His work and His work alone. Because of that, remember, this should be a mindset that we have. This is something that should be what guides us. He says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. How much thought, how much worship and praise do we give to God? Because it doesn't matter that we're Gentiles anymore. Because there's no more separation between Israel and the Gentile world. It's no longer the case where you've got Ezra standing on the pulpit of wood in Israel preaching and causing those people to lift up their hands and worship, all the while in Egypt, it's silent. You want to know one of the biggest reasons? I'm going to tell you, I'd even almost go so far as to say the only reason it was that way is because of man's arrogance. God gave Israel rules and regulations of how to bring people into the nation of Israel and to begin to teach them. He gave them rules and understanding of how it is that they were supposed to be able to bring other people in and teach them how to follow after God and for them to become a part of Israel. Y'all know that He did that, right? How much of that did they do? I tell you, there's one rabbit of this that's quite condemning if I chase it too awful hard. Because we're guilty of it. How often did Israel go out to seek other people that are people of God to come in and begin to worship Him, and how much did they just depend on, well, we've got kids, they'll take care of it.
How'd that work out for them? It ain't going to work out for us either. But I'll leave that rabbit alone from there. He says, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and telling them that they need to remember that if God was not so good, y'all can perk back up. I'll get away from the hard rabbits now. I'll get away from the elephant and I'll get back to the good stuff. We need to be thankful that it doesn't matter that I'm a Gentile anymore. You need to remember that if God was not so good, if God did not see fit to divorce away from Judaism and to leave that alone and to start anew and begin again, that we would still be lost in this world. We would still be children of God. We would still be chosen before the foundation of the world. We would still be predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. We would still be guaranteed a home with Him. We would still be regenerated and quickened into life. Everything that He has said up to this point would still take place. You please understand, I'm telling you, God had a people in every kindred, nation, tongue throughout the world, even when Israel was His chosen nation and the only one that He was speaking with. He still had a people. And if He would have kept it that way, He'd have had the same number of people, the same people as He does today. But aren't you thankful you know? Aren't you thankful that you've got a Paul that is telling you these things? Aren't you thankful that God thought of that detail? That He allowed His teachings to get out of Israel? Aren't you thankful this morning that we are able to gather together in Graysville, Arkansas, as few or as many as it may be, gathering together this morning, and we get to hear from the same God that Israel heard from on the other side of the Red Sea parting? That God is willing to speak to us, and it's because He wants to speak to us that we're still here. Aren't you glad He thought of that detail? We need to remember and we need to be thankful that you were in times past a Gentile. And there is not a person on this earth that would have crossed the street to tell you about God. You want to know why? Because of man's arrogance. You need to remember that in times past you were a Gentile. You were considered the uncircumcision by that which is called. I love that he says that. That was called the circumcision. Not the circumcision. Those that were called the circumcision. Those that knew. Those Israelites that knew and understood, they looked down on you and called you the uncircumcised, and we are the circumcised, and we are it, and you're not. So, y'all leave us alone. God saw fit that doesn't matter anymore. Y'all understand, when it talks about the circumcision and the uncircumcision, when it talks about the difference between Jew and Gentile, we read that today, and because we have good relationships with the Jews. I don't hate a single one of them, and I trust that you don't either. They pray to the same God that I do. We look at that and we hear that and we're like, okay, well, I mean, big deal. I mean, they just had a few things in the way. Now, you need to understand the division that was between the Jew and the Gentile. You need to understand just how harsh it was. We look back on the mistakes of this nation and the way it has been in the past, back in the 60s and prior to that, between the whites and the black and the division that was there, it was worse than that. It was a complete and total division. And there was not anyone here that was looking to bridge the gap. We would not have the gospel today if God had not considered this little detail important. We need to remember that we were Gentiles and we were undeserving of even learning of Him. And that the world would consider us and continue us to be that way. We were considered the uncircumcision, the unclean, those dirty dog Gentiles by those that were called the circumcision, those that considered themselves to be gods, and it was all by their own hands. And in times past that you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. And without God in the world. Now how many of you would sign up to be in that condition? Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Separated away from it and not allowed in. Even if you wanted to be a part of it, you were not allowed in. If you came around it, you were made to feel like you needed to run the other direction. Because people would make you feel that way. There's no hope in that. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That was the condition of every nation other than Israel prior to the New Testament church. Can you imagine that? I mean, be honest, no. Because it's here. It's always been here. It's been here all of my life. It's been here all of my grandparents' life. It's been here as long as I can remember. And it'll be here long after I'm gone. Sure about that? We see it all over the world. We've got men that just got back again from Africa. Seeing on Facebook that they just come back from another trip over to Africa preaching. And we've got men that just recently come back from the Philippines again. We've got men that are gathering together and beginning to look towards going to Russia again. I think they're crazy right now. There ain't no way I'd go there. But we've got people going and we see how God's Word is everywhere. So we just take it for granted that it's just always been that way. But it is not. Now I'm trying to get you to understand that. I want you to feel it. The condition that we would have been in if God hadn't been involved with this. Because there's a people that are still feeling that way today. There are people all around us that still feel that way today. And Paul is going to, and I'm not going to chase everything. I'm going to allow it to come at its own time. But Paul is going to basically tell the church that that's your problem. That's your job. God's done His part. You think you're so good because you're in the church? What'd you do to get here? What did you have to do with being born again? Nothing. What do they have to do to be good enough to be a part of you? God's taking care of it. He has overcome that division. God is so good that He overcomes everything that man will bring into as an excuse for why we can't grow the church and why we can't continue the teachings. He destroys all of that. And one big one was this mindset of I've attained and until they attain, they can't be a part of us. God took care of that. We were out in the world with no hope. But now, verse 13, He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were far off, and here He's not talking about God. Here He's talking about everything He said we were separated from. The the commonwealth of Israel. And for preacher, you said he done away with that. I'm talking about New Jerusalem. I'm talking about the church. The remainder of this chapter is pointing towards the church. Paul is encouraging us to understand the importance and the need of the church. Those that he is speaking to, those that he has given his word unto, those that he sends the preachers unto, those that are able to come together and to worship him and to be guided by him and to be kept by him. What a blessing and a privilege it is to have the church in our lives. Can you imagine a life without it? You'd still be a child of God. But I want people to know about it. And God wants people to know about it. And he says that God has taken care of it. They are now one of us. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Those that were afar off have been made nigh unto him. They have been made nigh unto us by the blood of Christ. He has destroyed that middle wall of partition, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We know that in his death, a lot of things took place. A lot of things here on this earth took place when Christ died. The ground shook. I still debate whether or not those that came out of the grave at that point came out at that point or when he raised again. I'm still a little back and forth on which one took place, but I know there were people that come out of the grave and it wasn't just him. He's the only one that came out perfectly. But one of the things that we know that took place was the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. Not as though man finally got the idea. Not as though the people of God finally figured out what it is he was trying to say and they rent it in two going to him. God rent the veil in two. From the top to the bottom coming to us. And we know that that means that we have the ability, all as being our own priest, are able to go into that Holy of Holies and be able to go and to worship him and to go directly to the throne of God. That's one of the things I tried to tell that brother when he was talking to me. He didn't know I was a preacher even. He was kind of shocked by it after he said, "Oh, you're a preacher." Like, "Yes, sir, I am." "Well, that's a little more impressive. I didn't even know that. Can I come talk to you again?" "Yeah, come ahead." Prayed for him before he walked back to work. But I said, "Man, he's got an open door policy." And he truly has an open door policy. He believes in the open door policy so much, he tore the door off its hinges and threw it to the side. We know that. But do you know why you know that? It's because somebody has told you that. Those people that are outside the church, those people of God that are outside the church, that are part of His and that need to know Him and want to know Him, need to know the door is open. And it is every bit as open for them as it is for us. And we don't make them nigh unto God. They are nigh unto God. By the blood of Christ, they are nigh unto God. They have every bit of right to the gospel and to the teachings of Him and the peace and the hope that comes from the knowledge and the understanding of the gospel as I have of that peace and hope and knowledge of the gospel. They deserve it just as much as I do. There is no difference between me and them. I would be them if somebody had not saw fit to tell me. Every one of you would be outside the church today if somebody had not saw fit to tell you. "Well, it was mom and dad." I don't care. You would not be in the church today if someone had not saw fit to invest time in your life to explain to you how good God is to you. How dare we keep our mouth shut? God is so good that He has destroyed the division. There is no better and there is no less. We are all children of God. Every one of His children is every bit as much a child of God as I am. He took care of even that little detail. When's the last time you considered it? I wouldn't even be in the church. The church wouldn't even be here if God had not seen fit to not just use preachers, but to use everyone of His people to be able to speak of Him and to encourage others to think on Him. The church wouldn't be here today if God hadn't took care of this. We look in the book of Acts, and you see when the church in Jerusalem was hit with all of the persecution. I encourage you to understand and read. Go and read that again. It says they all ran. Y'all know where the apostles were at? They stayed in Jerusalem. The spread of the church was not from the apostles. Y'all listening to me? The spread of the church was when everyone else realized the division was done. And they went out. They all ran, speaking of God. And when they landed, wherever they landed, they began speaking about God. And God saw fit to send a preacher. And the church spread. Not from the preacher. I want y'all to see that. If we're going to understand everything that is in the remainder of the book of Ephesians, we've got to understand that. Probably the greatest example of that is Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout man. He was known of God. He was praying to God. And he had his entire family praying to God. And there had never been a preacher there. But God sent one. And a church began. Look at the church of Philippi. Started with a bunch of women out by the creek washing their clothes and praying and worshiping where prayer was wont to be made. And lo and behold, who did God send among all those women gathered up where prayer was wont to be made to God? A preacher. And then it started in a house and in a family. And then you have the church at Philippi. I need y'all to understand, and if we're going to understand what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, you've got to understand that it is not the preacher's job to grow the church. It is the church's job to bring the people in. It is the church's job to go out and to preach. It is the church's job to go out, and I'll use the word ministry, if that makes you feel more comfortable, to minister unto those that are in your everyday lives. I'll close with this. And I pray it's honoring. We looked at the light bulb a few weeks ago and saw that we are the workmanship of God. Amen. And that we are expected to do the work that God has created us unto.
Amen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. You can look in Scripture and you can see time and time again when God visits his people that are not doing those works, it does not go well for them. You see a time in Jesus' life when he walks by the fig tree and there's no figs on it. And he cursed the fig tree. Why is that? Because it wasn't doing its job. I'll ask you this. Is the church any less the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that it must walk in? It's every bit as much. And that's what Paul is going to begin to build on from this point in the book of Ephesus to the end of it. He's going to be building on the church is also the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that they should walk in them. And the New Jerusalem, the church, is called the mother of us all. One of the works that the church is supposed to do is bring up children of God. And if we're not willing to do the work, what are we doing? I know that's a challenging thought. But I ask you this, because I don't want to doom and gloom you there towards the end. I see all the down faces. I'm not trying to be too heavy. I am trying to be serious and sober-minded. And I can tell you that all of these thoughts that have consumed my mind for the last month have been just as hard on the preacher as it will be on any of y'all when I share them with you. And I got a bunch of them, so y'all don't quit on me. But I'll make it personal for me, and y'all can answer for yourself. Y'all see what I'm doing this morning? Standing up here before y'all and giving you whatever God's put on my mind, that is not anything of John. John would much rather just sit down and be quiet and not ever be seen. If God can use me to do this, God can and will use the church to do that. He is that good. I had a preacher, and God love him, tell me something the other day. Wasn't about us, so y'all don't think that. But talking about another church, he said that church will never grow. I don't want to hear that. That church will never grow because the people around it have moved off. Really? I want to tell y'all, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. God's people have always been willing to seek him when they're told about him. But if the church don't tell, the church don't need to get mad when they don't come listen. I do thank you, and God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing His will. Sing His will.
the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.